Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Founders Grit. Today we have Sarah. Sarah is from Blisser. She's a co-founder, and we will have her share her experiences with remote working. Welcome, Sarah, and thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you, Sabine. It's very nice to be here on the show.
Great. So, Sarah, how was your experience like before Blisser?
Well, so before I was at Blisser, right before that, I had my own company also. It's called Lyft Brands Group. And it was based in Manhattan. The company's still there, but I'm not running it anymore. We had an office space there. And when COVID hit, I was actually in Europe to work on some of our European businesses. And it went from being extremely busy to dead quiet. It was almost like a joke.
Wow.
It was like nothing to do. I mean, we were trying to be opportunistic, but the business of Lyft Brands Group is brand management. So, you know, it's strong global brands that we license out throughout the world. So, you know, I think there was not a lot of need for fancy dresses and nice brands when COVID happened, because people are obviously home and had other sort of priorities at the time. So,
yeah, a lot of them, started cost cutting, trimming the extras, so to speak. So,
right, exactly.
What was it exactly? So, what was it like during that time, and how did you eventually transition into Blisser? And what made you come up with the idea of, you know, starting, setting up a startup right in the middle of, you know, a pandemic that we have absolutely no idea about?
Right. No, I mean, what happened was that, there was still an interest in our brands. I think what happened was there was with all the stores closing throughout Europe, it was challenging for anybody to make a decision about what brands to invest in and which way this sort of new market was going. So a lot of it was put on pause, after we divested some of these brands and focused on some that were more relevant for the market, but it's also sort of made me, I've been in the consumer product business for 5 years at Lyft. And I think when I got this phone call from Tobias and Andrea, who are my co-founders in this, I was really intrigued and I was excited to do something. I will really go back to what I was doing before, which was working in the entertainment industry. So I spent the first 12 years of my career working in Los Angeles, first at NBC Universal, and then at the top two leading talent agencies, Creative Artists Agency and UTA, where I represented some of the world's leading artists, actors, and music musicians and producers and so forth. So for me, this was a great opportunity to sort of get back into that, where, you know, I saw a strong sort of pickup in content. People were more on their phones than ever before. And what do you do when you're home all day? A lot of people watch content. So that was a big sort of inspiration to start Blisser. And also, I think everybody sort of realized that something had gone sort of terribly wrong with the world when the pandemic broke out. So, So I think, you know, for Blisser, a very big focus is to change the world for the better. So that was a big sort of inspiration behind that too.
Wow, that's incredible. So with Blisser, what would be your top three advice points to somebody who would want to set up a business? I mean, putting up a startup in a normal environment is already so tough. A pandemic is a whole different story. So, you know, the top three points that you think that comes to your mind when I say, give me advice to set up a startup.
Sure. I mean, I would say one of the things that I think has been not good the positive thing has been that, you know, I remember before COVID, you know, everybody was, you know, the technology was always there. I mean, there was always these video conferences, but, you know, I felt like before, like it was always a challenge to get them to work. So, you know, since you didn't have to learn the technology, you didn't. And, you know, so it was but then when COVID happened, you had no choice but to sort of adopt to this new way of working via Zoom and so forth. So I think everybody learned it and realized it wasn't so complicated after all. I would say one of the advice I would give is, you know, even before, where, let's say, you know, I know earlier in my career, I did a lot of networking, so I have a lot of relationships now, but So I was able to tap into those, but there are still a lot of network events, but they're going on digitally. So all this sort of same trade shows and events, and, you know, there are these podcasts, but there are also, you know, panels you can go on, and that sort of play the same role as, you know, as if they were physical. You actually meet a lot of people that way. So that would be what advice. And I think you also have to be more disciplined to reach out to people and communicate more, because it's easy when you're in your own sort of bubble, and you, if you work from home, perhaps, that you're not taking that initiative to reach out as much, because you're not just running into people. You're not really running into people at home, but you may, so you may be have to be more active reaching out to people on your own, I would say.
Sound advice right there. So interactions, Zoom sessions, and general networking, you're talking about how you transition from an in-person to an online setting. How do you think such a mode of work, how does it translate for fundraising? You know, I believe you have raised funds for Blizzard, right? So was it in person or was it online? What was the whole experience like?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was pretty organic. It was, I don't know that I thought of it as being so strange that we were working remotely. It's sort of like I thought about it right before the show, because I think, you know, I mean, I've had companies in work, you know, that have been global businesses for a long time. And to some extent, there's always a fair amount of like conference calls and in this case, video calls. And so I think it worked quite well, frankly. I think it was almost like to the positive, because before it was this sort of almost like a requirement that if you're going to meet somebody of importance, you had to travel there. And it was a bit of insanity, I think. Like I remember when I worked for Molly, I would, you know, go to London for an hour meeting and then fly back. And then, you know, if you didn't do that, like, you know, sometimes like it wasn't, I mean, it sort of was almost like a requirement to do business. I think now it's almost easier to do meetings with people, and people have more time because they don't even have to travel so much. So I didn't really see it as a challenge. I think it worked quite like seamlessly, to be honest.
Wow. So I guess like you're talking about how you travel to London just for an hour long meeting, or, you know, spending, I mean, in this case, it's more like spending money to get money. So, you know, it's kind of right. Counterintuitive.
Yeah, exactly.
But now and here we are saving so much.
Right. And it's also not so great for the environment when you fly so much. So
true that.
We're big believers in combating climate change at Blizzard. So I think that's a positive thing.
So what's the experience been like in a remote setting, whether it's your work or fundraising, you know, on the whole, like what the top three takeaways with remote environment?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this, when we started out, it was pretty seamless. I didn't really think it was so much of a challenge. I would say the challenges are, or I wouldn't say they're challenges, but, you know, we have to think about how we build the company. It is when you scale up the organization quickly, because I think there's still something to be said for, you know, it is different to build a culture in a remote work setting. So, you know, we have we're scaling up a big tech department at this time. And, you know, we have a CTO who's based in Chicago, and our headquarters is in Stockholm, Sweden. And we're sort of thinking about like, how do we do this? You know, we're set to launch in September, and how do we get everybody on the same page in a very short period of time? You know, everybody haven't even met each other. So I think that is something that we are sort of faced with. And I mean, some of the things that we're doing, so our CTO is actually, he's coming to Sweden in June for 1 month, and he's gonna be working with the rest of us. And then he goes back to Chicago, and then he works with his team from there. But I think having that sort of balance of like in-person and remote is good. And I also think, you know, it's easy, you know, it's, I think it's hard to lead an organization when you're, when everybody's remote. You have to be, well, maybe it's not harder, but you have to do it a little bit differently. Like, I think it's really important to be a strong communicator.
It kind of, sorry, go ahead.
No, and
I'm actually just adding on. I'm just adding to the question so that you can probably, in this comment, you answer the next. The productivity hacks that you've inbuilt into the system, like you're talking about being better communicators, working differently. So what is different? How is it more productive? What are the productivity hacks that you build into the whole system?
Sure. I mean, I think for sure there are times where like being in an office is also not the most productive. Some people are not so like thrilled in sitting in open office spaces where everybody talks and it's hard to focus. And, you know, engineers, they need to code, they need to be have their quiet time to really like focus on what they do, and requires an immense amount of focus. And that could be challenging when you're in an office and somebody comes and stop by every 5 minutes and ask how you're doing, you don't really get so much work done. So what we've tried to implement is one of the things we're doing, we have a 10 minutes stand up every day. So it's sort of a daily check-in where everybody gets on this Teams like video conference and just talking a little bit about what's going on that day, what they're focusing on, if there are any big challenges or anything that anybody should know or anything exciting that's happening. And that kind of keeps everybody, you know, sort of feel like we're still a community and everybody's not out on their own. That's one thing that that has worked quite well for us. Another thing, I think I also encourage people or other leaders within the companies that they also reach out to people to just see how they're doing. Because I think what happens is when you're in different places of the world or different, you're not sitting together, is that you lose sometimes that like sort of check-in. Like, you know, usually you go by the coffee maker, you fill up some coffee and you start talking to somebody that way. And when you're new and look, the people are not walking by you, it's, you know, you sort of have to think about how do you still build that social, you know, environment around
connection and that true.
Yeah,
true.
Exactly.
The water cooler conversations and, you know, those are something that you definitely miss. That's for sure. What about Zoom fatigue? Or do you think that's just a myth? Or do you think it can, you know, not be this thing that we now have something new in the vocabulary?
Yeah, no,
like
I mean,
Zoom fatigue. So, yeah. So what about that? What are your, you know, thoughts about it?
I mean, I think any place where you have too many meetings, if they're not being productive, I think you should take a look at that. I think, you know, I mean, I think the technology works quite well. But I think, you know, it is, you know, I think there's, if you, I think there's some things that are nice to do in person also. I think, but I think some, we learned a lot from this sort of experience, and I don't really think things will go back to exactly the way they were before.
That's true. How about hiring, and what's the process like? What are your hiring hacks, if I may ask, especially in a remote world?
Yeah, I mean, in one way, I think like everybody's gotten more effective in this sort of like remote working. So there's no, where before, like, again, it's like it was the expectations that we would have to meet, or maybe you were limited by thinking the people that were around you to hire, right? Or somebody was close by. Now it's sort of, you can look at the globe and just say like, where are the best talent to recruit? Like, doesn't matter where the base may be. I think, I think in general, it is sometimes a challenge to recruit for a startup when you have to scale an organization so quickly. We're trying to hire, I mean, I feel like we're hiring every day. It's like a constant recruiting, and you know, that is also always challenging. And I don't know if it would have been easier if we set an office. I mean, we have an office, but all of our employees are not there. I think it's more so the challenge is making sure that everybody who does get started and get hired by the company, that they feel like they get integrated into the company and not forgotten because they're sitting somewhere else.
That is extremely important, that's for sure. So last question here. I could talk on and on. I'm sure I can keep pulling out questions from somewhere or the other, but unfortunately we are kind of limited by time. So what, again, now you have your funding, you have your setup, you have your hired, you know, team members and everything. Everything is remote. Let's get on to the sales side of the business, because again, to remain sustainable, your sales need to be a certain mark. You have to make a certain, you know, revenue mark that you have. What's that been like for, you know, your team, and how do you get things done?
Sure.
What's your sales scenario?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we our business model is very good in COVID. So, I mean, the types of businesses like us have done better during COVID than before. And I think, assuming like nothing is really going to go back to normal, I think people will continue to work from home. It's actually to our benefit, and our sales will grow, because so it's on, we, you know, Blizzard is a platform where you connect very talented artists and musicians and world leaders with their biggest fans, and they can request personal messages from them. So it's essentially, you know, online entertainment, and people are on their phones more so than ever. So for us, it's about having the right artists on the platform, and then their fans come on to follow them, and people are can watch this anywhere. So the sales, if anything, has been sort of, I mean, this is almost towards our advantage, if you could say something.
Upward trend right there.
Yeah. So it's actually, it's not a bad thing for us. We don't need any physical stores in business. Yeah.
That's so cool, because you're converging, you know, both sides of the spectrum to come, you know, on one online platform. And that's kind of incredible, because over the years, I feel in-person concerts and everything have been on a slight downward trend, if I'm not
wrong. Totally, yeah.
I mean, people have, you know, been stuck to their phones so much that they do not like going out anymore.
Right.
So,
and this is
please, I would love to hear that last comment.
No, I disagree with you. I think, like, you know, online content has been on the rise for a very long time, and I think it will continue to be that way. And I think what we're trying to sort of embrace is really like that personal connection, which you get through Blizzard. You can mm-hmm. sort of connect directly with a celebrity and have that sort of personal interaction.
That is so much needed, especially during a, you know, going through a certain point in history, I would say, right now, like we're living that right now.
Exactly.
So anyway, thank you so much, Sarah. I'm so sorry for constantly interrupting you, but I think it was an amazing podcast, and I really had a lot of fun talking about Blizzard, talking to you. And I really hope we get to connect sometime soon. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.